Tango Tango Papa 2050, March 19, 2020.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you, I guess it's this morning. It's still morning, from Brunswick, Georgia. So, let's see. So I was in Florida yesterday. I was in Georgia, and then ended up in Florida. Dropped and hooked at Alachua, Florida, and so then the next load picks up tomorrow, the 20th, at here at Brunswick. So the reason normally they would have given me a load that loaded probably the same day, but I was really low on hours yesterday, and you know, and I'm still low on hours today, so I've got, I think, just under 4 hours available on the 70 hours that I have. So, I just wait till tomorrow and then pick the load up. And then the load is a drop and hook. It delivers in, I think, at Franklin, Indiana. And that's a drop and hook on the 22nd. And I'm due home, I think. I told him I wanted to be home by the 26th, and I think he put it in there for the 25th, which is fine. That works as well. So, ready to go home. I don't have any appointments this time, but, I just like to go home and kind of get away from the truck for a few days. So, trucking is kind of going along, at least my job is going along quite normally. I'm seeing just as many trucks as there normally would be. I'm not seeing any reduction in the number of trucks. And in fact, my company and some of the articles that I've read suggest that the demand, since this virus thing started, is even stronger, and that would sort of make sense because of the fact that especially people have been buying lots of groceries, and so you've had some hoarding kind of, I guess that's what they're calling it, and in some cases I guess it would be hoarding, and then in other cases people are just sort of freaked out and they're stocking up. And then another aspect of it is that since the restaurants, a lot of restaurants, depending on the state or the city that you're in, locality that you're in, a lot of places have been ordered to either close down or close their dining rooms, takeout only, or reduce the capacity, so make people social distance from each other. And so I think a lot of people maybe are just kind of freaked out, even if they can do takeout or whatever, or their restaurants are still open in a more limited capacity, they're just deciding, hey, I better eat at home. Because I've heard the statistic that fully one-third of meals were being eaten out. People were no longer cooking at home. And I suspect that is, over the past week or so, that has radically changed. So part of all of this buying in the grocery stores, as far as food goes, I think could be attributed to the fact that people aren't eating out. They still have to eat. Well, they're going to eat at home. They're more likely to eat at home. There are plenty of people that, they don't know how to cook. They may know how to warm things up. Someone said that canned goods, people are really just buying tons and tons of canned goods. So, but But in any case, I haven't been to a department store, supermarket since this started. I haven't been to any kind of supermarket since I was home last time, and that obviously everything was, you know, more or less normal then. It was only after I came back to work that all this started in earnest. So it will be interesting once I get home around the 25th. It'll be interesting to see what's going on at home, what's happening with the local stores. My local supermarket, there's a supermarket that's located about 2.5 miles from my house. So it'll be interesting to see what's going on with them. And of course, then we have the Walmart stores, and I guess Walmart, they've kind of curtailed their hours, so no more 24 hours being open. They've kind of moved that back, and so that, you know, they're more limited hours, which who knows how long that's going to be going on. I don't really need to go to this, you know, it's convenient to be able to stop at a Walmart or something, you know, in the middle of the night, but I don't do it that often, and so it's going to be easy, you know. I simply will adapt to whatever, and just wait and see what happens. I got an email from Best Buy today, and it was they're vastly reducing their store hours, as well as limiting the number of people in the stores, which is kind of interesting. So I think what's going to happen, and I don't know, I can't remember if I talked much about this in the last podcast, but I think, you know, it doesn't take much for people to alter their behavior. We have this idea that people's behavior is just whatever it is, and, you know, they can't really change it. It's really hard to change your own behavior. But one thing I've noticed is that, you know, you can, and this has been, I've noticed it with myself and other people, that you can kind of have the habit of doing something, or, you know, you kind of do something, and then somehow that routine will get interrupted for whatever reason. It can get interrupted, and then all of a sudden, whenever the interruption is over, you know, it may last for whatever, you know, whatever the interruption was, your behavior kind of changes. And so over time, you know, I find myself listening to different things, going to different restaurants, you know, just kind of being interested in different things, doing different things. And sometimes that just, you know, happened as a result of something somehow got interrupted. And so I think that this tremendous social, because it's a giant behavioral change that we're all going through. I think a lot of service industries are being dramatically impacted by this, and our social, you know, we're having to take really radical social steps. And so I think that this goes on for any length of time. Once we start recovering from it, which we will, society's going to recover from it, humanity's going to recover from it, there, some things are going to be gone. Some of the things that we've kind of taken for granted, as far as, well, let's say certain types of restaurants, certain types of businesses, they're simply going to be gone, or they're going to come back in some other form. It's almost like you can, if you think of it in terms of, you know, just sort of cleaning something out, cleaning a space out, or mowing a lawn, something, you know, whatever comes back later, you know, let's say you eradicate your, you know, you want to just completely eradicate your lawn, which that's probably not a good analogy. Are you really, you know, whatever comes back is going to be different. You know, it may be along the same lines, but some organizations are just going to be gone. Some restaurants are, you know, restaurants in particular. I think that's kind of a really flaky business. You know, it's kind of really depends on everything working right from day to day. And I think the same thing is true with retail. Now, I've got someone sent me a story yesterday that some chain of malls was going to close, and I'd probably should go back and look at the read the article. I'd never heard of the name of the chain, but you know, there are different holding companies that own maybe they own a string of malls, you know, across the country. They were going to be closing. Well, that could be the death knell of malls, because malls were already struggling because people's behavior has changed as far as you know, our buying behavior. There's a good example. It had already changed, and if they close malls, that could end up just being the complete, that could be the end of many of them. They'll never reopen. How many more people are going to be buying online? Now, what has happened, like with the truck stop restaurants, you know, as far, you know, like in, started with, the story started with Illinois and then, you know, and then Ohio, limit, you know, kind of closing dining rooms and limiting things to take out only. You know, and that was just a few days ago, and now that's, I think that's spread to a bunch of different states and cities, counties, and all across the country. So what is, you know, I noticed that when I was in Ohio, for example, the, like a Denny's and the truck stop, they, you know, they had their dining room completely closed, and they had, but they were still taking to-go orders. And so what I had to do was go out to my, you know, get the to-go order and then go out to my truck and eat it. I had to do that twice in a row, once in Ohio and then another time, or, you know, then in Kentucky was the same thing. And then, let's see, where else did that happen? It may have happened one other time, but then also now in Georgia, the dining rooms are still open, but they have everyone spaced apart, and they've removed all of the, like in the Denny's, for example, they removed all of the napkins or any kind of salt and pepper shakers or anything like that. They've removed that from the tables, and so you just, you know, like when I went in to eat earlier this morning here, I'm at a Flying J at Brunswick, Georgia. There's a Denny's here, and so they still, it's still, they still have their dining room open, but everything's removed from the tables, and they tell, you know, some of the tables are just, they've got little notes on them saying this table's not available, so they're spacing everybody out. And they, you know, I think only on Sunday morning would they have to worry. A lot of Denny's would just be just super loaded in a truck stop on Sunday mornings. That's one behavior that's going to have to change, obviously. But, you know, like normally they don't have that many customers in there at the same time, so they're able to kind of accommodate. You know, and this particular one's got a big, you know, they're in a big dining room. So, but they, you have to, whenever I ordered, I had to ask for, you know, this sweet and low for my tea, which I always, you know, use sweet and low. That may not be the best stuff, but I use it. You know, I haven't died yet, and it's not making me overweight, and it's not, doesn't seem to have any negative impacts, so I use it. But, so I had to ask for the sweet and low, as well as salt and pepper. I had to ask for that. because that wasn't there either. But otherwise, after each customer leaves, they're wiping everything down, of course. And generally, you know, restaurants have to practice hygiene anyway, obviously, for obvious reasons. You know, a good restaurant has already been practicing certain standards of cleanliness, because otherwise you could just spread regular diseases. Now, this COVID, so-called COVID-19, is not the flu. Because people, you know I was maybe referring to it as a cold or a flu to begin with, but I've watched a bunch of videos now, and it's kind of obvious to me that this is not the regular thing, and I think that's what people are kind of responding to. You know, why the panic? Why has this gotten to such a level? And I think that it is more than the flu, and I think people sense that. This thing is really a nasty thing. And, you know, older people or people with existing medical conditions, so-called comorbidities, are maybe more susceptible to it. However, it's, you know, the young people don't get away scot-free, because a certain percentage of younger people, including very young people, will end up getting it. And if they survive it, if they really get a bad case of it, they get the pneumonia. If they survive it, people are coming away with, you know, damaged lungs, severely damaged lungs, severely damaged bodies. And that damage is permanent, appears to be permanent. So this is nothing to be, you know, kind of scoffing at. It's a serious thing. You know, now, one of the things that, you know, because I've watched these early videos, and they say, don't wear masks. You know, don't wear a mask. And I think they were giving that advice, and that's actually bad advice. They were giving that advice deliberately, because some people in the government want the thing to just hurry up and pass through the population. Just hurry up and pass through. Yeah, we're going to have people die, but it's not going to damage our economy as much, because then we'll get to the so-called herd immunity as quickly as possible. Now, you know, so you either get there to herd immunity to a specific, you know, any given pathogen, you either get there via a vaccine, which is obviously not yet available and probably won't be available for more than a year, is what they're saying. And or you get there to this herd immunity from any given pathogen by simply allowing it to, it's just naturally goes through the population, and people either, you know, overall develop, you know, kind of get it and develop immunity to it, and then it just eventually everybody's kind of immune to it because they've already had it, or you have a mixture between that and a vaccine. And so they were just thinking, well, if we tell people not to wear masks, we're going to get there quicker. Now, in China, if you watch some of the videos that are being snuck out of China, and there are plenty of them, if you dig on YouTube, you can find them. I watched this one last night. It was, these people that were living in China their apartment block, they were pretty much locked down. They could go out two or three times a week. They had to have a pass in order to get out, and they could only go, let's say, to buy food or something. And so but everybody has to wear a mask. If you're going to go out, you must wear a mask. You know, so this idea that wearing a mask is, it's not going to do you any good, is BS, frankly, because it would do you some good. Now, Are we going to get to the point where we're all wearing masks? I don't know. We might. We're living in some pretty interesting, radical change times, so it's possible that we could all get to the point where we have to wear masks, at least for a time, when we go out into public. I see that's possible. That is possible. So, not seeing it right now, I've only seen, when was it? Last month I saw a woman, working at behind the counter at a Flying J in Rawlins, Wyoming, and she, clerk behind the counter, she was wearing a mask, taking people's money and what have you. She was wearing a mask and gloves, as I recall, or maybe not. I don't remember if she's wearing gloves or not. Can't remember, but she definitely was wearing a mask. So I don't know. I think she was either obviously frightened of it even then. And this was more than a month ago. Obviously, this story has been around, though, too, for a while. We've just kind of been ignoring it until really the past week or so. So, but as far as my daily existence goes, I'm still going about my business. Life goes on. Some places, I've been to a couple of places now. Shippers, receivers that they're asking questions. Have you been out of the country in the past 2 weeks? Do you have symptoms of COVID-19? Etc. etc. And I'm told that if you answered yes, they'd tell you to leave. But now, one thing. So I've been through that a couple of times, or fill a form out saying that I don't have it. Now, one thing that did happen a couple of days ago, the company sent us a message on our messaging system, telling us that one of our drivers, had been diagnosed with COVID-19. He had spent time at the Phoenix, Arizona terminal, which I've never been to ever, by the way. But they have some sort of a terminal in Phoenix. They don't have any. There's no shop there. It's just a kind of a recruiting parking area type place. They probably have a driver lounge and showers, but there's no shop there. I've never been there, never darkened their door, and it's been there, I guess, for a number of years. But in any case, this driver had spent some time at the Phoenix terminal recently, and that he had been diagnosed with COVID-19, but then they came back later on in the day and they sent another message and says, good news. Although the driver tested positive the first time for COVID-19, he had, for whatever reason, two subsequent tests later that day. And both of those, the second and the third test, came back negative. So he did not have it. He had some other respiratory infection. So, it turns out he didn't have it. So there you go. So I don't know. I did watch a YouTube video. There's this channel that I've been subscribed to for some time that's called Audioholics, and do speaker reviews and they talk about electronic devices, and that's why I was subscribed to it. Well, one of the people that's on there just posted a video in the past couple of days saying he had been diagnosed with it, he had it, and he, because he started out, he was, there was some guy that, came, from, maybe it was from a foreign country, came and he demoed a system to him. It was for business purposes, demoed some sort of speakers for him and spent about an hour and a half with him, shook his hand and, gave him some coffee or whatever. But actually shook his hand, and then he was on his way. And then, a few days later, this guy started coming down with these, kind of flu-type symptoms. then he thought he was getting better, and then all of a sudden he got worse, and then he decided he'd better drive himself, or he called his doctor, and the doctor told him to come in, and they tested him, and he ended up, you know, testing positive. And so he was kind of recovering from it. He did not get the pneumonia. He didn't get the pneumonia, but he said his chest really felt tight. And so he seemed to be, on the tail end of recovering from it after a several day bout with it. But you can look that up on YouTube. That's Audioholics. Just look that, do that as a search term, and it'll pop up, and then you can go through the individual videos, and it should be close to the top, as far as I know. So, because that was just released in the past couple of days. So it is out there, but as I say, it is a dangerous, it's quite a dangerous thing. So it is a good idea that we're kind of backing away. The social distancing is probably really a good idea, but at the end of the day, you can't just rely on the government to tell you what to do. You have to kind of use your own common sense, take things into your own hands, and it's up to you to kind of socially distance yourself, because that's really one of the things you can do, is just really watch that. But germs and viruses make their way around. This other video I was watching, about seawater, one teaspoon of seawater, so one teaspoon contains at least 2 million, with an M, million viruses in one teaspoon of seawater. Which, that's incredible. Now, of course, they're all, most of those aren't going to affect human beings. Those are, and the viruses actually serve a function. The viruses, it turns out, are really important in breaking down, biomass. So they actually do serve a purpose. They're not just some irritating part of creation that didn't need to exist. They actually do serve a vital function. They do need to exist. So, at the same time, This virus coming out of China, they say it originated in these so-called wet markets. Now, if you watch the videos for the wet markets, that happens not only, I think kind of in, the Asian, some Asian countries, where they have this tradition where they just eat wild animals, and so they have these weird animal, all these animals in cages in these wet markets, which can cover blocks. They have all these animals and these live animals in cages, and they're just wild animals that they caught in the wilderness. Bring them into the city, into these these massive areas. Almost like a flea market, except it's just, so-called wet market. And you just, let's say you want some bat soup. Well, you just pick out your live bat, and they cook it right there and make the soup for you. Now, but the problem with that, of course a rat is a rodent. Why in the world would you be eating that? Or, I'm sorry, a bat, but it's basically a rat with wings. A blind rat with wings. Why would you, or a mouse? Why would you be eating that thing? And they eat it whole. Which, if you want to see something gross, just Google bat soup and then click on images, and you'll see what I'm talking about. This yellow-looking soup, big bowl of yellow-looking liquid with black bat. Intact, kind of perched on the side, and that's your meal. I don't think so. But the problem is they've got all these animals, you know, that normally don't live together out in the wilderness. They've got them all just sort of stacked up, you know, one on top of the other, you know, so the chickens can shit on the, pardon the French, on the whatever it is underneath it, or vice versa. And that's how viruses are even more insidious, I think, than bacteria are, maybe in some ways, jump from one species to another, and then it can end up jumping to human beings, because, hey, we're biological too. We have a major biological component. So we're biological too. Golly gee whiz. You know, so that's, I don't know. I don't understand the idea of eating wild animals. I guess in certain cases it would be okay, you know, depending on what the wild animal is. But as far as things like lizards and insects and, you know, rodents, no. I don't think so. You know, things that would go through garbage. Well, I guess a lot of things would go through garbage, but you know, there's certain animals that we've sort of domesticated, and you know, those are, you know, seem to be okay as long as we don't turn the cows into cannibals. That's where the mad cow disease, it turned out to be prions, which aren't even alive. You know, you can't cook them away. Prions can happen, you know, even in human being cannibals. You know, that's happened in the same thing. You know, some of those tribes that were still practicing cannibalism ended up with a kind of a madness, and it was sort of like a mad cow disease, except they were, because they were eating human beings. So species can't, at least mammals, really can't eat the same species and expect to just run away scot-free. But we seem to be able to eat cows and other animals that have been domesticated for that. There's some of them that seem to be safe to eat, but there are other things. Do you really want to be eating the, you know, like wild rodent type animals? I don't think so. I don't think that's such a great idea. If you want to eat them, domesticate them and, you know, grow them on a farm. I guess I could have a bat farm. I don't know. But just Google that and see the image. It's not something I would, if I was starving, would I eat it? Maybe. Who knows what you would eat when you're starving? People have been known to eat tree bark, but, resort to cannibalism, actually. So the drive to eat, I guess, is there, but if it becomes severe enough. But normally, that's just, obviously, it's repulsive to me, you know. But I guess if you're acculturated to it, then it may look delightful and appetizing. Who knows? But it's dangerous. The dangerous part of that is they put all these animals together. Just kind of pack them all together on top of each other, and oh, no problem. No problem. But sorry, there is a problem, because that's the original of a lot of the epidemics and the pandemics come directly from this practice. This isn't the first time, and if as long as they allow these so-called wet markets, it won't be the last time. It's a filthy practice. I'm sorry. I'm not being racist. It's just, you don't want to do that. You don't want to take a bunch of animals and stack them on top of each other in cages. It's not a great idea. You know, because they normally have nothing to do with each other. So, anyway, I have an audio clip from Joel, and I listened to a good chunk of it, and he's kind of talking about these same things. didn't listen to the whole thing, but he's talking about a number of the, you know, the same things that I'm talking about right now, and so it seems to be a kind of a topic of, big topic of conversation at the moment. So here is Joel.
Hey, Tom. Joel McLaughlin here. Just thought I'd listen to your first one, and I've also listened, I'm finishing up listening to the one where I talked about Star Trek. But just thinking about this COVID-19 stuff, it's like the things that I do not understand, and in the first comment on COVID-19, I did finally see issues with toilet paper. I don't remember what stage that was in, the other one was in, but I do remember seeing nothing there. In fact, I, over the weekend, that's exactly what I ran into. No toilet paper, no a lot of things. Fortunately, we have, you know, everything we need for the moment. But, of course, in Ohio, you know, everyone's saying that Mike DeWine is leading the charge with this stuff. He seems to be the one that's has some of the best plans as an Ohioan. I'm not sure I 100% agree with him, but I'm complying anyway, because really, what choice do I have? I can't go to the gym. I can't go see a movie in the theater, which I don't really go see that many as it stands. But and I'm doing well. I'm not afraid to go out, like some are. I know some are worried about, well, what if I give it to somebody else? Like, what if I give it to an older person? I'm like, well, just don't go around to older people. 90% of us are going to be just fine if we contract it, you know. But from the economy standpoint, you know, I think the service industry is going to get hit hard, because I'm sure there's some restaurants that just do not have the capability of delivering or even doing carryout. I bet you that if they don't, they will develop that rather quickly. And some things I'm thinking about too with this is I'm trying to do more to make sure that those folks don't suffer as much as they're going to. Maybe eat out a little bit more, I don't know. But it's not, I don't think, yeah, I am kind of on the precaution side. I don't watch the media, although I do notice distinctive differences between, you know, which are still there from before, but distinctive differences on how Fox News, CNN, MSNBC. And by the way, I just look at the page. I don't necessarily read the stories. I just load the page just to kind of gauge the insanity, you know. But just from my own personal life, I don't know anybody who has it. I know, or had it, I should say. I know there are members of my family that are in the panicky crowd. Then there's myself. You know, Sunday, after some of the closures happened, we ended up going to Sam's Club, and we went to a couple places, and thankfully I went to Skyline Chili and had dinner with my family out in... that was probably going to be my last one in a restaurant until this whole thing's over. So it just makes me wonder, though, when states like order restaurants close, how does that affect you? I assume now that the restaurants at the truck stops, you know, they're still open, but they make you take it back to your truck to eat it if you buy something instead of sit in the restaurant to eat it. Now I know my friend. I have a friend. His name's Tracy Holtz. I forget what company he drives for, but in fact, right now I think driving through Kansas right now. He's at Pratt, Kansas, a little bit ago. But he's been doing things like I think he's got an Instant Pot that he has in his truck, and he'll run that while he's driving, and have his dinner ready to go once he gets to wherever it is he's going. Plus, and a lot of times too, he'll have some downtime where he has to sit there and wait for a load or something like that. In fact, but in any case, what I'm most concerned with isn't what's going on now, it's what's going to happen afterwards. We already had a bunch of antisocial people in the world. Just look at Twitter every day, and you can see them. But is this actually going to be like I remember after 9/11, for the most part, we were driven more together than we ever were. Same thing when in other certain situations, like for example, Desert Storm, so on and so forth. I'm not sure if that's going to happen this time, especially since you got the likes of Pelosi and Trump just kind of going at each other with little nits, like when they're trying to approve the appropriations bill so that they can get more funding for battling COVID-19. And really, there's it's just amazing that that some people are trying to make this sickness political. So, and then further afterwards, I think we need to once this is over, which it will be at some point, because what will happen is it won't go away 100%, but it'll get down to the point where we know how to treat it and we know how to deal with it, so we don't have to go to these extreme measures. But what I think we need to do as a part of that when we come back is we need to go to China and say, clean this stuff up. These if you look want to look more interesting stuff up with this, look up the Chinese wet markets. Very interesting stuff there. So, and more fun stuff, something a little bit less, definitely less serious. I finally switched from a digital SLR camera. I had an Nikon. I still have it. I'm still gonna keep it because right now I don't have everything I need for my other camera, which I just bought. I bought a Sony A6400, a digital camera, mostly because I wanted the 4K shooting that it can do for the 4K video. I wanted the screen on this one will flip so that it's facing you. So like you can do record yourself for videos. If you see my latest YouTube video, I recorded it with that. And it has all the same capabilities of an SLR. I can switch lenses and whatnot, but it's smaller than my Nikon. So not a lot smaller, but small. It's small enough. And so far I'm liking it a lot. I don't haven't had a chance to shoot a lot with it yet, but I'm looking forward to taking a vacation trip sometime if I can to run it through its paces a bit more. Hopefully I can actually use it to take pictures at Easter services on Easter Sunday, but I'm not 100% sure I'll get a chance to do that because this virus. So, but in any event, hope you're doing well. Hope you stay well. I hope you don't contract this virus. Take care.
Thank you, Joel. Yeah, so I have a tendency to be fascinated by cameras. You know, whatever the latest and greatest camera is. And then I know from past experience, you know, if I buy a camera, there's a really good chance that I'm not going to use it nearly as much as I should. And so I really have to limit myself as far as getting really excited about cameras or, you know, because, as I say, I've had a kind of a long history of not putting them to as much use as I, you know, as the initial excitement would have predicted, let's say. So I really, you know, I know that about myself, and I have to, you know, I just have to kind of compensate for it. And so I just, anytime I start thinking about cameras or getting excited about cameras, I shut that off. 'Cause I, you know, there's no point in buying things that I'm not, getting good use out of. That's psychologically, that's not good, because then I buy it and then it just sits there and then, you know, kind of bugs me. So, you know, why did you buy that? You're not using it. But, you know, as far as 4K goes, I guess the real benefit of 4K is you can have some, you know, you don't have to have the best video, but then, like, if you're going to use it for something, let's say you're going to make it into a YouTube video, you can zoom in onto part of it and, you know, kind of straighten things out. Let's say you didn't have it, you had the camera tilted or whatever. You could actually kind of zoom in and still have a clearer picture because you've got more pixels to zoom in on. So there would be that benefit, but currently I haven't made any videos for some time now, and you know, I'm just haven't really been in the mood to do it, and maybe that'll change at some point, but at the current time I'm just not, you know, I then the obviously the past several phones I've had since the Note 3, all the way back to the Note 3, I've had 4K capability, and apart from a couple of experiments with it, I really haven't used the 4K capability. You know, I mostly use the camera for you know, just kind of taking pictures of documents and that type of thing, and you know, just sort of casual snapshots for my own use. And not really taking pictures lately, so there's that. So, you know, I just, as I say, I really try to limit myself to getting things that I think that I'm really actually going to get use out of, as opposed to the stuff that's it's just exciting to, you know, it's an exciting product or it's an exciting idea to buy it. Because as I say, it's you know, much better, at least for me, to get use out of stuff. And so in any case, this virus thing, I think, you know, we will get through it. You know, most of us will get through it, I think. A majority of us will. Some people are going to die from it. And it's really difficult to predict who will die from it, but some people are going to die from it. There's going to be a percentage. And it may be, you know, that right now they really don't know the percentage of the people that are going to die from it. That seems to vary, and you know, even from one country to the next, as far as the people that actually are bad enough to end up in the hospital, you know, there's a certain percentage of those folks that die. And then the people that end up in the hospital and survive, as I said before, can end up with some apparently permanent damage to their bodies. So it's, you know, not something you want to just casually get. So it's really something that we really need, you know, really need to take seriously. And I think most people are. This is one of those things where everybody knows about it. And it's already affecting all of us. Every single one of us has been affected by this. And with me, it's just, I'm affected by just, well, the main thing is the restaurants. Some of the restaurants, many of the restaurants, take out only, go back to your truck and eat. They've closed the driver lounges. In the past few days, they've got those blocked off, or they've got notes on them saying this is clear, notes on every seat saying this is closed because of the coronavirus, COVID-19, closed until further notice. And so that's just something that, you know, that I have to kind of adapt to. Not that I used those common areas before. I might occasionally. My first thought, you know, on getting the to-go order at when I first had to do that, I think it was in Ohio. Yeah, at a Denny's. And I thought, well, I'll just go to the driver lounge and eat this. Well, no, you won't. Sorry. Won't work. They got that blocked off. No place anywhere in the truck stop to sit down. You have to go to, if you want to eat your food, you're going to have to go back to the truck, which I did. So, but, you know, I can do that. I can adapt. Just end up with more, you know, the plastic dishes and what have you to dispose of. So it's obviously generating some more trash. But, oh well. It's, you know, it is going to cause a lot of things to reset. Some things are going to go away completely. Some of these behaviors, are probably going to end up being permanent. Maybe, I don't know. It's, difficult to say. At this point, I think more people are going to order online. Now, one of the things, like with these restaurants, even Denny's, places like Denny's have apps that they had these before. You could order from the app and then, pay for it and then pick it up so many minutes later. And I've, you know, there are people that were already doing that. I suspect, I've never done that with a Denny's or any restaurant, actually. But I suspect that many people will start doing that. You know, even before this, there were so-called, in some cities, there were so-called cloud kitchens that had no, you know, you just order the stuff online and it gets delivered to you. I don't know that a real cloud kitchen, if you can pick it up or not, but you order it online and then it gets delivered to you. Now, the delivery thing, you know, I've done that before as far as ordering, you know, to, like if I'm stuck somewhere, I've done that in the past. But that's difficult to do if I haven't done it lately because it's all carbohydrate crap. And I, you know, like if you order from, like, the typical stuff is Chinese or pizza, Italian type stuff, and that's all just carbohydrate garbage, and I won't eat that stuff anymore. So I guess if I had to, I you know, there's probably something that I could order that wouldn't be carbohydrate, but most of the delivery things is just chock full of crap that's bad. I consider all of those kind of, you know, slow poisons. You can eat them today and they're not going to kill you today, but they really have bad effects. And by the way, I'm more convinced than ever, you know, keep your sugar levels even. Don't eat things that really spike your glucose level, because I've heard that over and over again, even, you know, well before this virus came along, that sugar suppresses your immune system. And I think that's borne out in type 2 diabetics that have high blood sugar levels are sick all the time. Their immune systems are damaged. They're suppressed. So it's not a, to change your diet maybe. You know, get rid of the sugar. Get rid of the carbohydrates. Get rid of the stuff that spikes your glucose level. You know, I still, you know, I eat, you know, any kind of meat, eat lots of steak, but I eat any kind of meat. I'll eat any, you know, most vegetables, and I eat most, I eat lots of salad. A lot of times, twice a day, I have, you know, some sort of a salad and then a meat and then, you know, some sort of vegetable, a lot of times it's broccoli. And I use ranch dressing to kind of dip the steak in, you know, because steak can be kind of dry sometimes unless you have something to dip it in. You don't, and I'm obviously not going to be dipping it in ketchup or steak sauce, because that's just, you know, it's like lots of sugar with some flavoring thrown in, which is ridiculous. Why do you have to dip your steak in sugar? Or why do you have to dip anything in sugar? You dip your French fries in sugar. And flavored sugar. That's basically what you're doing if you're using ketchup. It's insane. But, I didn't used to do that. Didn't realize what I was doing. Do now, though. But, I don't know. I've had such dramatically better effects since I've cut out the carbohydrates. Usually I'm still, you know, I eat twice a day. If I feel like I need a snack, I've got my pecan halves that I buy at Sam's Club, and I bet you those haven't sold out. I bet you they still have those. It'll be interesting. Whenever I go home again, I'll make the rounds and see what's open and what's not and what's going on in those different stores. But and maybe in a few days that'll have died down a little bit. As far as, you know, all this hoarding, buying stuff that seems to be going on, and the empty shelves, that may have had a chance to die down a little bit. Because the trucks are all still running. On the back end, Walmart is just as busy as ever on the, you know, as far as the distribution centers go. So, that, you know, I suspect that that's all going to kind of settle down a little bit. But, so we'll see what happens. But we are going to have to, you know, our behavior, I think a lot of this is going to just end up kind of being, the routines are going to be, you know, are going to be severely impacted for a while. And then maybe new routines will develop at some point. This isn't going to go away anytime soon, I don't think. I think this is going to probably stick with us for months. I know that there's a lot of places that were closed and are said, well, it's closed through the end of the month, or we're closed through the end of whenever, or next month. But some of the stuff may not come back. You know, now as far as movies, I think what's probably, you know, it was already the tendency anyway that, people watch movies at home. You know, you got your home theater. And it is entirely possible that, I don't know if you can watch first run movies at home. I guess you can if you're willing to pay for it, a premium. But I think if the theaters are actually closed, they're going to make it easier because they'll have to if they want to stay in business. They're going to have to make it easier and less expensive for you to just rent the movies at home and stream them, download them, whatever. They're going to have to make that capability, you know, they're going to have to give you that capability, you know, move as much stuff. That may be one of the things that, you know, because a lot of stuff had moved online already. And this is going to just put that much added pressure into, you know, putting stuff online, making it available, you know, where you can just do as much online as possible. And that's just going to be, you know, before it was convenience, now it's going to be mother, you know, the mother of invention is necessity. And if it becomes necessary to do it online, then people will figure out how to do it. So we're going to end up being able to look back at this, you know, and, you know, this is a profound change, you know. So the world, in a sense, the world, all these different countries, the entire world, from a social, particularly from a social standpoint, we're going through an earthquake. You know, this is like a, you know, off the scale earthquake from a social perspective that we're going through, and a new world is gonna, you know, kind of emerge from this, you know, without, you know, without being overly dramatic. It's gonna have some impacts. There's no question about that. You just can't really see them yet, perhaps, or at least see them clearly. Anyway, probably better be closing this out and see if I can get it uploaded. It's still I think it's still morning as far as I know, so just kind of hang out here the rest of the day, and then get up in the morning, and hopefully by the, you know, the, it's supposed to be loaded by 10 a.m. hopefully, and so I, you know, I probably will call them before I drive over there. It's about 6 or 7 miles from here where the load picks up at. So I'll call them and find out if it's ready, and then once it is, then I'll go over there and drop my trailer and pick up the loaded one and be on my way towards Franklin, Indiana. So hope everyone is having a great week, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.